because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. He says, that's the key. He says, I love the church, and so do others, because of the truth. That's why we love it. If it was a lie, we wouldn't love it. We'd be away from this stuff. That's why it's so important for Christians to not become caught up in hysteria and false things, but to stand our ground and say, it's not true, or this is true, as the case may be.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through a special series called Truth, Love, and Testimony. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick continues in 2 John 1 and his message called Truth and Love.
You got to stand and fight for what you believe on every level. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride, that's the church, says, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Those are the wills. I will take the water of life versus the won'ts. The elect in this context is the church, the bride of Christ. If you look down at verse 13, John says, the children of your elect sister greet you, amen. The children, there's a multitude on one side greeting the multitude, a congregation on one side greeting a congregation on the other side. And he puts that in. He says, the church that where I'm at right now, we all are saying to you, hello. We greet you. We salute you as friend hailing friend. From one congregation to another, not one individual to another. Now, I'm passionate about my point. I think the others are wrong. But certainly, again, I will continue to, see what they have to say on other issues, because I have utmost respect for their wrong for them and their wrong opinions. It's kind of a cute little thing. Again, in the early days, if I was reading some commentary on something and they didn't agree with me on a point that I was passionate about, not essential, I would have a tough time forgiving them. Not really. I don't want to read them anymore. You grow up. You grow up and you find out that, not everybody can be right like you, Rick. You're just going to have to be humble. And and if you're tuning in for the first time, I'm kidding about that. Anyway, we come back to this section of Scripture, and the last verse, as I just read, makes it difficult to believe that this was written to an individual. In verse 8, he says, look at verse 8 now, look to yourselves. Not saying, lady, look to yourself, singular, but plural. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we worked for, but we receive the full reward. So the feel is congregational, not personal. And now he says, whom I love. To this elect church, the bride, is how it's this elder to the bride, I love you. You're John? After all these, stuff you've put up with the church, you still love the church? Yes, I do. It is the body of Christ. It is no other body. And the fact that it is Christ's body is enough for me to love it. We have a saying, any friend of Joe is a friend of mine. Well, the apostles blew that limit. They just expanded it and just blew it away. And if you belong to Christ, we belong to each other. And so he emphasizes love under the authority of truth. When love gets out, wiggles out from the authority of truth, you have problems that you should not have. And they can be very serious. Psalm 119, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I get it in my noggin from your word, the rules of your word, your commandments, your guidelines, your examples and illustrations and your metaphors, your types and your symbols. If I love some teaching that is false, then what does that say about me? But it makes me feel so good. Yeah, but it's false. But truth is second. Love is first. That's not love. That's being sentimental. It's being led away by how something makes you feel your experience and not the revelation of God's word. So does anyone have to spell the folly of this out? Does anyone have to say, listen, truth comes before love. Otherwise, if you have love in front of truth, then truth doesn't count. Love counts more, even if it's false. Does anybody got to spell that out? Evidently, we do. And we must not get tired of doing it. We have a saying. We say to our kids quite often, how many times do I have to tell you? The answer is very simple. Enough. Enough times. I had a friend who was not a believer years ago. He was older than me and influenced me in many ways in my life. And he had a saying. He said, you know, enough ants will eat an elephant. How many ants does it take to eat an elephant, he would say. And his answer would be, enough. Enough of them. Brilliant. He was a little eccentric, but he had these flashes of brilliance when it came to such things like that. And so do we have to, how many times do we have to say it? Eve, the wife of Adam, for at a critical moment, she fell in love with something that was false. So much so, she took it home to moonstruck Adam, and he went for it too. He didn't believe it, but he was so moonstruck by her, he'd do anything she'd say. He did. Listen to this. The Bible is God's word about man and not man's word about God. The Bible is God's word to man and not man's word about God. And those who try to wiggle, oh, the Bible's written by man, pew, pew, yeah, nonsense. What are you going to restrict God and say he can't use men to communicate? What should he use? How about a donkey? Oh, but you won't believe that God spoke through a donkey. So what else? How about the rocks? As Jesus said, you know, the stones will cry out. You cannot satisfy someone who is determined to not be satisfied. And so you knock the dust off your shoes and you move on. Because there are those who will receive the truth. We just don't know who they are until God brings them to the surface. And so he says to the elect lady, John, the elder to the elect lady, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. The truth lovers of the body of Christ. John says, I'm not the only one that loves the body of Christ. There are others. And they are known by their love for truth. From God. God's truth about himself, his salvation, mankind, the devil. That's the kind of truth we're talking about. We're not, again, talking about the truth on how to heat up a TV dinner or something like that. I don't make TV dinners anymore. Now I guess they're YouTube dinners. But whatever the other instructions are that are out there, that's fine. They're truth concerning those things, but not spiritual truth concerning self. The words that I speak to you, Jesus said, are spirit. They are spirit. And those who come to God must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible's not playing with this. And we are not either. That's why we are attacked and hounded. We're not hunted. We shouldn't be. No Christian should be hunted. There's a difference between being hunted and being attacked. Being hunted means you're just defenseless, try and flee for your life. The church is an outpost of heaven on earth, and she is fortified, and she has weapons, and she fights back, and she attacks back. And this, so we're not just this vulnerable bunch of Christ lovers that have no defense. Christ says, I've issued you gear. You got body armor. Put it to work. John says, I love the church. And all who love the church love Christ of the church. It is his body. And Paul said, and savage wolves will come in from yourselves and try to eat that body. And you have a say-so in that matter. Verse 2, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. He says, that's the key. He says, I love the church and so do others because of the truth. That's why we love it. If it was a lie, we wouldn't love it. We'd be away from this stuff. That's why it's so important for Christians to not become caught up in hysteria and false things, but to stand our ground and say, that's not true, or this is true, as the case may be. Truth lovers of the body of Christ, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Which abides with us and will be with us forever. Truth triumphs through eternity. In other words, you start embracing truth now, you never lose it unless you become a fool and want to throw it away to the Gnostics. That's why he's writing this letter. If there was no threat, he wouldn't have to write the letter. You're saved, don't worry about it. I don't have to say anything. No, he says, listen, you're going to lose stuff here. I'm not talking about just rewards. You better man up, arm up, woman up, Christian up, as we might say it today. I'm getting a little excited. I don't apologize either. Okay. But there's some other points here I want to make about this truth that triumphs through eternity. The church in the Christian life doesn't always seem triumphant. Seems defeated many times. Well, just look at Jeremiah. How many times did Jeremiah think he was just, this ain't working here? Paul, again, in that 2 Corinthian letter, in that 11th chapter, he just lays it out. This is all the things I've suffered for Christ. And yet I am victorious. He writes to Timothy and he says, you saw how God delivered me from the beatings that I did get. What, Paul, what kind of dictionary are you using? Heaven's dictionary. I don't let Satan write my script. Matthew chapter 16, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Does that sound like someone being hunted to you? Hounded. In a sense, they're looking for us, fine. We'll be waiting for them. They have to have some sort of an attitude of faith that does more than just try to survive. We have to have an attitude that actually infiltrates enemy territory. Or stay isolated, locked down in your own house with your own family and don't ever try to preach the gospel to anybody outside, or only preach the gospel to the people you like. We have to learn to attack. And the way we do it is by being ready. We set ambushes against the world. You know what? An ambush goes out and it just waits. It's got an idea of where the traffic's going to come from. It just waits. And when the bad boys show up, it pounces. And it pounces knowing what it's doing. Lest it shoot itself. And as Christians, we wait. But we're armed. We're ready. We have the gospel. We have a desire to preach it. Matthew 13, the Son of Man will send out his angels and will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has the ears to hear, let him hear. See, that's the eternal benefit from the truth. It's forever. As John says, which abides in us forever. And there it is. He's saying we're going to shine forth in the kingdom of God. We are soldiers of truth, eternal truth, which can only be established by God's word and not some private interpretation or private revelation. That's what the Gnostics, I've got this inside information, this arcane stuff. And we reject those who drag into the church contradictions of the truth we receive from the Lord. That's what makes a cult, or that's what makes an apostate church. Even a watered-down church is watered down because she's dragged in and blocked out. She's blocked out what God says, but she's dragged in what the world says. They want to be so cool, so acceptable to the world, that they've thrown righteousness away. Holiness doesn't mean. Holiness of the Lord does not enter their thoughts. It's like, well, we just want to look cool. Do I look cool? See, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Do I look cool? Do I look like you? Why can't we set the pace sometimes? And not in a legalistic, self-righteous way, but just not try to be cool, but try to be faithful. And then we can declare it is God's truth, and not all truth is God's truth. In other words, as I mentioned earlier, a manual on how to repair or replace a fuel injector in your vehicle can be true, but it has nothing to do with salvation of souls. And we're able to make that distinction very comfortably. Jeremiah, in his difficult ministry, he said in Jeremiah 9, and like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. A pretty good picture there. There you see, using their tongue as a bow to shoot out lies. He says, they are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says Yahweh. It's powerful. Jeremiah is so locked into this prophecy, he starts out speaking and ends up as Yahweh speaking. Verse 2, he says, grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. See, that's our theme, in truth and love. It's handed to us. It's not something, well, I think. Well, sometimes I get the lead, and it's where the emphasis is, but here it's just handed to us. Many Christians or professed Christians, they have truth. They can quote Bible verses. They can slam you upside your head very quickly with a Bible verse. They stab you in the back with a Bible verse. They don't have any love. And you say, how do you have this truth without the love? Because if you got the truth from the Scripture, you can't miss the love. It's not something that's hidden under a rock somewhere. It's not low profile. In fact, it's bold and in your face. This is how they know you follow me, Jesus said, that you love each other. How do you miss that? Well, grace, mercy, and peace, truth, and love, these are attributes of God that we are allowed to share through His Holy Spirit. These are governing principles of how we roll. Grace, peace, mercy, truth, love, that is what Satan is up against when he deals with us. That's how it's supposed to be. So we're not again hunted as these defenseless little fairies. We are supposed to be the church militant. We got an attitude against sin. Whether we find it in our own lives or in the lives of others, not in a judgmental, self-righteous way, but if we're not going to look the other way when we've got to deal with these things. And again, grace, peace, mercy, truth, love. This is what Satan has to face when he faces us, but we forget. We forget about God's grace and God's peace. We have peace with God. His mercy is just new all the time. It's a current. The mercy of God is like a river that just constantly flows through our life. What would that? That's a vein. That's an artery. That's what's the blood of Jesus Christ is flowing spiritually through us. Jacob had, of course, 12 sons. Two of them, they had no grace and peace and mercy and truth flowing through their lives. Genesis 49, here is Jacob. Simeon and Levi are brothers, instruments of cruelty. And in their dwelling place, cruelty, that's what's in them. Levi and Simeon, instruments of cruelty. And a Christian should look at that and say to himself, I don't want to be an instrument of cruelty. I want the grace, the peace, the truth, the love. He said that about his sons. We have to ask that about ourselves. Try not to get into the flesh. The peace that he speaks about is our relationship with God, knowing that God does not change and does not waver. And we are very grateful for these things. He says, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the origins, the source. Deliberately, John joins together the Father and the Son as co-equal, co-existent, and co-eternal. That means not only eternity future, which we have, but eternity past, which we don't have. We cannot say that we have always been. That's which was, which is to come. Christ is the one that fulfills that, not us. But then he says, Well, let me pause, go back a second where he says, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, his grace and peace and truth. You can't say that with somebody else. You can't say from God the Father and Isaiah the prophet or Jeremiah or Paul or John. You can't put your name. It's only Jesus. It's exclusive. And then he says this, the Son of the Father. That appears nowhere else in all the Bible, that phrase. Just here in 3 John. You see, this is why I just can't pass over these things. The temptation is just a little letter, just a postcard. I'll be 5 minutes on this one. I could pack in all three of them together if I just wanted to recite them. No slight on those who have a different approach. I'm just speaking for me, myself. The Son of the Father. Now, to deny the meaning of that, that the Son is equal with the Father. I mean, because the whole scripture backs this up. To deny the meaning is to refuse God's offer of salvation for breaking his commandments, which is hell. Why is the serpent of old determined to lie and to deceive and to kill? Why? Why does he bother with us? What is his incentive? Does he get something out of this? Yes, he does. He gets the rush of hatred. He hates mankind so much that it's like he takes, it's nectar to him. It's the drink of the gods. It gives him such a thrill to make us suffer because he's insane. He's the father of liars and murderers and thieves and the insane. I don't mean all of those who are troubled mentally, but those who are out of their minds. He offers these things. And the Christ rejectors are useful to him. And he hates them too. They don't believe it. But he's just their little chump. His little apprentice running around, his insignificant being that, what did he do to Judas? And Judas went out and hung himself, and even that failed. He killed himself. The branch broke, and he fell, and it was an ugly ending. That's the message from the Bible, an ugly ending. If you're going to be used by this devil that hates you, and devils are committed to swaying every single soul. You say, every single soul, that if they can go at it, they went. Look, Satan, like Lucifer himself, confronted Christ in the wilderness. This nobody is going to get a pass from his meddling and seductions and efforts too. And hell has a militia, and it throws it, everything it's got, at humanity to block humans from the truth and love of Christ. And so God has dispatched an army. Whom he loves. He loves as a husband should love a bride. And we are outnumbered, but we are not outgunned. Don't you think for one moment you're outgunned, or else you wouldn't be saved if that were the case. 1 Corinthians 1, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. All those scary things the world has, God says, I deal with this. And that's what we see in the lives of Stephen, Peter, and Paul. They put to shame the sword of the mighty. Those three men were martyred. They were killed for Christ, and they live forever. And not only that, the work they did on earth continues to work. They, being dead, still speak. We are in the face of powerful things when we mention the word eternity under the connected with the truth and love of the Bible. So the world, it has truth, but not about salvation. And the Gnostics targeted the elect, hell-bent on reshaping the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're very serious about this. Their motives, they wanted to be right, they wanted the benefits, they wanted whatever they could get materialistically speaking, or carnally and or carnally speaking. But behind them was a Satan who hated them, their message, and everybody it came in touch with nonetheless. And so Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. You say, are we supposed to love our enemies? We're going to get to that in a minute. We ought to love them to a point, believe it or not. Because how do you deal with someone that is actively sending people to hell?
Thanks for listening to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you're interested in more information about this ministry, you can visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find more of Pastor Rick's teachings available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. By doing so, you'll become aware of each new edition of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning more from this series, Truth, Love, and Testimony, here on Cross Reference Radio.